Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Interview, we've got an emerging indie folk producer, musician, writer, all that goodness. We've got Anna Lawrence in the studio. Atamarie, how are you?
Hello, I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, I'm glad to have you. How are you? How do you brave the cold this morning? How are you feeling?
Cold. Mm-hmm. I was driven here, so it wasn't too bad, but then I had to walk and I was like, oh gosh, it's actually really cold.
Mm-hmm. I love walking past cars on a morning like this because they like glitter up. With all the frost crystals?
Yeah. It's so pretty. And on the street as well, you can see the glitter. Mm-hmm, it's so nice.
Yeah, I saw a few iced over bits of trash, which was like a bit terrifying, but yeah, is what it is. I saw that you recently went to France.
Yes,
How long were you there for?
I was there for a month this time.
Oh, whoa, yes. Nice. Did you end up doing any schoolwork from
Normally I go there once a year to visit my family, mm-hmm. But I used to go to a French school. I've been there since I was a child, but since I think a couple years ago I stopped because it's just getting too hard. I was only staying at school for 2 months, so it was too hard to catch up between a French school and my schoolwork here, and it was just too hard, so I just kind of do a bit of schoolwork over there, New Zealand schoolwork.
Okay, nice. And what did you do this time that you haven't done before? Was there anything new?
Nothing new really, but
just it was mainly all the familiar things.
Yeah, just spending time with my family because I don't get to see them very often. So it was so nice to see them.
Is that's immediate family?
Yes.
Aunties, uncles, cousins. Oh, that's beautiful. That's great. It's good to have couches to surf on internationally.
Yes.
That's a real awesome thing to have. Yeah. The best thing I have for that is I have a few people over in Melbourne. So whenever I go there, I got free accommodation. But
that's cool.
I don't have a lot of friends in Europe, unfortunately. Now, I saw that you speak French, which I'm not surprised about. Do you write songs in French as well?
So, yes, I do. I haven't done much French songwriting because I can speak fluently in French, but I find it my vocabulary isn't as wide as it is in English. So because of that, because I write very poetic lyrics, it's a lot harder, I'd say. But I have written some songs. I haven't released any French songs, but I'm planning to. Yeah, I have a whole selection of songs that I'd be interested in sharing. But yeah.
Do you get inspiration from any French singers?
French singers, not as much, but French poetry or French words I see, or just conversations I have with people. Sometimes it just, strikes inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous language.
It is. And quite cool.
I'm not sure you're familiar with anyone, but Serge Gainsbourg is probably my favourite. Yeah, he's great. I love Serge. Serge is awesome. And his daughter is also a really good musician too. Charlotte
Gainsbourg. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I did know. Maybe my mum knows.
Mothers know everything. Now, you're a proficient poster online. You've already made 10 posts on the gram this month. Not to mention your output on TikTok. We've got a few thousand followers. Kapai. What is your secret to having a thriving social media presence as a musician?
That's a really hard question. I mean, last year, the algorithm had a big kind of switch, and it was basically craving new artists. It really wanted it. And so I was kind of just looking at what other people were doing, what other artists were doing, and kind of basing my ideas off of what they're promoting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it blew up. It worked really, really well. And suddenly, as of February this year, absolute smash. It hates me. TikTok does not like me anymore. I was getting 50,000 views. I'm up to 200 now. I don't know what happened, but I think the secret is really research. I research a lot. I do a lot of general research, just social media in general, and then I specify in TikTok. So I'll do either I'll just look at what other people are doing, what's working, what's not. Mm-hmm. I think last year slideshows were doing really well. This year not as much. It's more it's really more connecting with your audience, which can be hard, sometimes, and it's a lot of work on top of all my schoolwork and all that.
Yeah. But, yeah, of course. That's a whole second job, being a social media manager for yourself.
It is really hard. Instagram is doing really good this year. Not sure why, but it is. I kind of just started posting a lot more. I had a big break because it was too much for me, just really tiring, and I was promoting the same songs over and over and over. But this time I just started, once I knew my EP was coming out, I just posted every day, one or two reels per day, one or two TikToks a day, and it seems to be going pretty well. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Okay, I think the key is consistency.
Yes.
And being thorough.
Yeah.
And in the research angle. I mean, yes. Brain rot is doing pretty good.
Yes.
Would you consider stooping to that level?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No. Maybe.
Alrighty, let's get into talking about the new EP, When Tides Turn. Hydrologically speaking, what happens when tides turn?
A lot of things. For me, it's like I daydream when tides turn.
Yeah.
I start thinking about very philosophical things, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Metaphorically speaking, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. that's what happens for me when tides turn.
When they go up and they go down. The power yeah. of the moon.
Yes.
I feel like the moon, I don't know if you've seen
beautiful.
In the morning. Do you get up really early in the morning?
No.
Okay. I have to. And I walk through the Botans because I live right near them. And the moon is so bright at the moment.
Yes, I
noticed
that.
I don't know what's
that.
Going on. But yeah.
I noticed that.
So I think there's some moon power going on there.
When I released my first single, like it was called Lavender Moon, the two singles. Mm-hmm. And I have this fear. I've always had an attachment to the moon. It's kind of strange, but I remember someone telling me when I was younger, I used to look at the moon and I would say, like, look at how beautiful she is. Like, I was like 6 or 7. I don't know what was coming out of my mouth at that age. But yeah, I've always really loved the moon. So I thought When Tides Turn, yeah, linking to the moon as well. It's always kind of that cycle. Yeah.
It's really a powerful thing, though. It's a mysterious. It works in mysterious ways.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous piece of. Yeah, a gorgeous cosmic body that's right next to us.
Yes.
What's not to love? You know. Okay, I read that you have won 2 national songwriting championships and that you've got chops in production as well as mixing. Now, are you handling the production as well as the post-production here on the CP? Are you doing everything?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
God damn.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. Very hard, but I love it.
Do you feel like you would seek for the collaboration in those aspects anytime in the future, or do you think that you just want kind of full complete control of what you do?
I think it really depends. I have collaborated with people in the past. Mm-hmm. I love it, but I think if I collaborate with like a producer, it has to be someone first of all I'm comfortable with, mm-hmm. and someone who's open to a lot of feedback, because I am very, very specific with every little sound.
Mm-hmm.
Every sound you hear in my
song.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Always. Since I'm born, I've been a perfectionist. But it's just, it has to be a certain sound. And so it's a good thing and a bad thing when I do it myself, because when I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, well, I know this isn't the sound I want, so I'm going to change it. But then sometimes there's a specific sound I know I want, but I just cannot make it because I don't have that high level of being a good producer kind of thing, where I can hear it, I'm like, okay, this needs to happen. How do I make that happen? So I think, yeah, I would love to collaborate and just be able to talk with people and figure out, mm-hmm. you know.
Were there any moments on this EP, sonically, where you wanted to do something but you couldn't quite figure it out and then you figured it out? Were there any moments like that for this EP?
I think so. I can't say specifically what. I can't quite remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I had a lot of kind of aha moments. I had a lot of problems, especially with the first track on my EP. That was a really, really hard song to produce.
Glitternese?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one was really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a whole, each song, like if you compare it to my first single, you can hear the huge difference in production that over in a year and a half, really, how that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Awesome. I want to touch on the themes of this thing, because there's a few topics I picked up here. The power of love, like on Apple Honey Cinnamon, which is a love letter to the apple of your eye, or on Glitternese, which we just mentioned, which has a line about wanting to be loved as you are. Love me like a painting in a frame?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, gorgeous line. And then counterbalancing that, there's all these fears of change and some moments of doubt. Was your intention to sort of provide a holistic human experience for this thing?
Yes, I think so. I didn't think as much into that because I kind of wanted each song to be able to stand on its own kind of thing. But I felt like those 5 songs just worked together. I struggled to find some that worked together because I had so many songs. I was like, maybe this one could fit, maybe this one couldn't. I removed a lot and I added others. But I think, yeah, I think each song just, it really stands on its own. I think they need each other to be powerful, I'd say, but on their own they can just work really well. And I really did want those different emotions, yeah. I wanted people to feel different things. And because it's not an album yet, and it's not just a single, I'm kind of saying, look, this is how I've been feeling. Maybe you relate, maybe you don't.
Make of that what you will.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. One of the tracks which I'm trying to still digest and understand what it means, for me at least, is Condalila. Condalila, there you go.
Yes.
It's this gorgeous light piano and guitar-based folk track about facing some pretty massive changes in life and having the temerity to look those changes in the eye and tell yourself you'll be okay. That's what I picked up from it. But I want to know what you think that you are touching on change-wise with this track. And why do you name the track Condalila? Is it a reference to the national park in Australia?
Yes, oh, so cool. It is. Cool. So that song I originally released in 2024, in November.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it because when I was on a trip with my family in Australia, mm-hmm. and we went to the Condalila National Park, we were on a walk, and I found this, it's like a little, I think it was a river or something like that, and there was a sign that was explaining what it was and just some history about it, and it said Condalila, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then in a little font it said rushing waters, so Condalila means rushing waters in the local Aboriginal language, which I thought was beautiful. So I wrote it in my notes, kept it in there for like months, and I was like, I'm gonna write a song about this. I think I had a really bad stage when I was like in bad writer's block, and I pulled it out. I was like, I'm gonna write a song. So I took out my guitar, kind of started strumming some chords, and I didn't end up liking it. So I asked my friend Nikita to play on the piano for me, and that's when I loved it, and that's when it started building. And yeah, these moments of change, really, I was just going through a lot, and especially it was last year, so I was in year 12, and
what a year. Gosh, year 12 sucks.
But I thought, you know, uni's coming up, so many changes, I might have to leave home. And I was like, I want to write about this because this is how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. The a burgeoning future, you know, the pressure of trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Exactly.
It's quite crushing in a lot of ways.
It is.
As year 13.
Yeah. It's hard, especially, I mean, I'm glad I have an idea of what I want to do, but I can't imagine for those who have no idea. Like, there's so much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's silly. Also, yeah, so how some education institutions market themselves could be done better and more honestly.
Agreed.
I would way more appreciate if when the university people came down to my high school, if they gave me an honest picture of what it was like, because it's no one tells you.
I know.
No one tells, even people I know who've been through university don't tell you what it's like.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. As I mentioned before, there's that gorgeous line on the opener, Glitter Knees, and I see that you're a poet in addition to, you know, being a musician. Does poetry help you come up with your lyrics?
100%. Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I've always written, same with my sister, we both love to write. And I kind of started getting more into poetry, I think in year 11, sometimes I was a bit bored in like my English class or something, and so I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to write some poems. I have this word in my head, and then I just write. And I think I got a journal and I just wrote lots and lots of poems in there. And sometimes I base my songs off of my poems. Sometimes I write a song and then I turn it into a poem.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the two, to me, just blend together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I love poetry.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the tracks from this EP based off of poems from your book?
No, I don't actually think so. Glitter Knees wasn't based off a poem, but it was based off of like images, which I then kind of thought of a poem, but not as much. I think Condalila originally did have a line, but it's my past songs, the ones I have previously released, that like Missing Teeth, that was a poem.
Mm.
A lot of them are poems, yeah.
Mean. Now, I want to thank you for coming on the program today.
Thank you.
Have you got any shows on in the near future you'd like to plug?
I have one potentially coming up, but I can't mention anything about it yet.
Is it a festival, maybe?
No, not quite, but it's in a couple months, so I can't quite mention it yet. But I'm trying to get some gigs up. I'm just waiting for people to reply.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, currently no at the moment.
True. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and maybe before you leave, you might drop another EP or project. Is that on the cards for 2025?
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe we'll see.
We'll have to see, cool. Yeah. Definitely some more singles, but we'll see about an EP again.
Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank
I really
you so
appreciate
much.
You know, you've got a busy morning going to
school.
School, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Right. Well, thank you for coming on, and I hope that you have a lovely rest of your winter.
Thank you so much, and you too.
Thank you, mate. That was Anna Lawrence. We're talking to her about her new EP, When Tides Turn. If you'd like to check out a bit more about Anna Lawrence, head to annalawrence.com. That's Anna-Lawrence, LAURENCE.com. We're going to be playing Apple Honey Cinnamon, which is the closer on her new EP, When Tides Turn. You're listening to The One. We'll have the gig guide at 8:45. Ka kite.
Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.